It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events, sports, arts, entertainment, food topics, automotive topics, relationships. It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
And welcome one and all to number 16 of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. Hope that you had a great weekend. Of course, our show, we record earlier in the week, so if you had some nice relaxing time. I know a lot of people are on vacation. Some people are dealing with natural disasters. So whatever the case, we just hope that we're just glad that you're back with us this week.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Things are rough out there. Seems like no matter where you are, something's going on. So hang in tight there, guys, and stick with it, and it'll be all right.
So I'm looking through my newspaper here locally, Doc, and I'm reading stories that I would categorize as, oh, my gosh. And, you know, here in West Texas, we don't have, I mean, we have weird stuff that happens occasionally, but recently we had a murder out here. A young man disappeared. Turns out four of his so-called, quote-unquote, friends were involved. I think it was like three guys and one girl, or I don't know, but evidently there was a love triangle between the guy and the girl and this other guy that got killed. So what they do is they call this guy over to the house, and when he pulls in the carport and a guy gets in the back of the car, grabs his head and slashes his throat. Well, that doesn't kill him, so they drag him out and they beat him. And then somebody shoots him with a crossbow, and then somebody sets him on fire. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm not laughing because the poor guy died. It just kind of seems like they just couldn't figure it out. They just didn't know what to do. And, you know, that just goes, I guess, for an experience for you. Holy cow. They finally just lit him on fire. They thought, well, this will do it. The crossbow didn't work. The knife didn't work. We'll just light him on fire.
Yeah. I guess they wanted to destroy the evidence or something. It's like, you know, we can't be really accomplished killers, and we're really messy at this, and I'm sorry it's taking a while to die. But, I mean, here's my other deal. What the hell are these people thinking? What is going on in the minds of teenagers that this is okay? The whole area is shocked and going, what the hell?
Well, and that's just the thing, Spencer. It's not just teenagers. I mean, it's teenagers, it's middle-aged folk, it's older folk. And you just have to wonder, what would cross your mind to start something like this? I mean, I recall hearing a story about this guy. He was shot by a crossbow in the back of the head by his roommate. So the guy was sleeping. His roommate came up on him and fired a crossbow into the back of his head. Well, fortunately, the guy wakes up, his head's kind of pounding, and he's wondering what's going on, and he feels like there's something in there. So he gets up, he goes to the bathroom, he looks in the mirror, and he sees this crossbow arrow sticking into the back of his neck, and the tip is coming out the front of his forehead. So he's looking at that. Once he saw it, the pain actually stopped, and he thought, oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So he runs over. He calls the hospital. You know, he calls 911, and he said, I've been shot in the head with a crossbow. It's sticking out of the front of my head. You guys got to come help me. They laughed at him, thought it was a joke. So he calls his landlord, and he says, hey, look, you got to help me. You know, I've been shot in the back of the head with a crossbow. You got to come help me. His landlord thinks it's a joke. And I'm not making any of this up. This actually happened. So the guy walks to the hospital. He doesn't think he should drive in case, you know, he passes out or whatever. I guess it's like a 15-minute walk to the hospital. Walks all the way to the hospital. Walks into the emergency room. Then they think it's a joke. They think he's put on this makeup because, I mean, there's no way, you know.
We're just some wild and crazy guys.
We are some wild and happening guys. And, you know. So he comes in, and the nurse looks at him, and he says, finally, he convinces them that, you know, he has this arrow sticking into his head. You know, so they slowly unscrew the tip of it and slowly pull it out. And I guess it had just missed, the major artery, obviously, that gives, you know, the brain the blood that it needs. And then it just slid right up against the brain. So it just missed anything vital that would have killed him. And he was fine. I mean, there was no problem. But, you know, it's just unbelievable. You know, how stupid you have to be sometimes. And, man, I'll tell you, you know, that brings us pretty nicely into our first topic here of what's happening in the news. Apparently last week, And the title of this thread posted by Mr. Mysticism, and this is, of course, in our breaking general news section. This comes from thesmokinggun.com. And apparently a woman who's 52 years old is suing Victoria's Secret for claims of injury from a defective thong. And the title of...
What's thong with that?
What's all thong with that? And so this is the title of this is aptly named Dinged by a G-String. And apparently on June 17th, as she was attempting to put on a Victoria's Secret thong, a Los Angeles woman claims that a decorative metallic piece flew off of the garment and struck her in the eye, causing injuries and a new product liability lawsuit against the underwear giant. Makrita Patterson, 52, alleges that she was hurt last May by a defective low-rise V-string from the Victoria's Secret Sexy Little Thing line, according to a lawsuit.
That just brings up all kinds of badonkadonk butt jokes.
Badonkadonk, junk in the Honey. Trunk. Like, what? Where do you even start with this, Spencer? I don't even know where to start. First of all, let's look at some context clues, shall we? If you're 52 years old and you're buying things from Victoria's Secret's Sexy Little Thing line, give it a break. I mean, you know, I appreciate the want and the need to be older and stay sexy and do all that, but you're not going to do it by wearing a V-string. And I guess I don't know the difference between a G-string and a V-string. And I don't think I need to. All I need to know is that this woman should not be buying this, let alone be trying to put it on and then wonder why she gets slapped in the face with a piece of metal.
We're cougar fans here, right, Doc? Okay, so maybe she's a good-looking cougar. Maybe we got this going on. But here's the deal. If it's under that much stress that a piece of metal flies off of it and pops you in the eye, probably should have gone a size or two bigger.
Yeah, and what was she doing where it popped her in the eye? You know, I'm trying to look through the logistics of this, thinking to myself, okay, she's putting on these underwear, apparently, and what, something snapped? And if you think of the trajectory of that little piece of metal flying off of the V-string in this case, how could that possibly have hit her? I just don't understand how it would have, caused the, propulsion of the metal piece from the V-string directly up to her eye. That just doesn't seem to make any physical sense to me.
The only way that could happen. Remember those old comedies where somebody would shoot a bullet and you hear this bing, bang, bing, bing, bong, bing. Possibly got a lot of stress on it. Maybe popped off the iron, hit the lamp, down to the mirror, off the salad bowl and into the eye.
Yeah, ricochetted it off of the wall. That's what happened, yeah.
Lombozo put, that's hot. Would be even hotter if she was trying to put on a size 2 thong and an XXL tush. Yep, stretching the thong fabric to degrees that quantum physics thought impossible. Oh, yeah. Now add to the visual that the vast amounts of cellulite make the entire tush look as though it were encased in pasty white orange peel. Oh, yeah, baby. Now that's hot. Thank you, Lombozo, for the mental image that's now making me retch. Just to utter, I think I threw up just a little bit in my mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the first thing I thought when I heard this, and Mr. Mysticism hit it right in the head, it says, it appears that no one wants to be accountable for their own actions anymore. The hot coffee from McDonald's, that's when it all started. And you know what? That's the first thing I thought of when I read this. And yep. Just remembering that woman, and I don't know if everyone remembers this, but there was a woman, she went to the drive-thru at McDonald's, bought a hot cup of coffee, and spilled it on her lap and wondered why it burned.
And then sued McDonald's for like $9 million and won. And you're going, hello, jury, are you that moronic? Are you that stupid? Well, they should have told her that coffee was hot. Well,
they should have put it on the cup. Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, and you wonder why we're in the shape we're in the world today. So now she's going to sue, and she's got a little thing in her eye. Man, my ideas are just flowing out right now that probably this woman in the next 3 years is going to be the recipient of a Darwin Award.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Victoria's Secret should have a stipulation for the trial that in order for this woman to sue them, she has to wear the G-string in the trial, in the courtroom during the entire trial. That way people can see, you know, exactly if this was warranted or not warranted, and if she should indeed be wearing a G-string, and if there's any potential that because of whom she may be, there was a reason why this metal piece flew up and hit her in the eye. Ridiculous, man. I ain't got no time for this. I ain't got no time for it.
I think there'll be plenty of objections to that in the courtroom. Yeah.
Just a few. It will not be a hung jury, we hope.
Oh. Well, I wonder, you know, we talked about Badonkadonk. Maybe that's her Xbox gamer tag. I don't know, but I ran across this one and I wanted to share it. Let's jump over to video games. The thread is Xbox 360 gamer tags, and it started by Iced 10G, Betrayer of Ignorance, wrote, "What's your Xbox Live gamer tag in games that you love to play?" His is Mines the Ting, T-E-N-G. I'm not really sure what that means, but...
Hey, I think his username is Iced Tang, like a variation of the old orange drink that the astronauts brought up with them.
Wow. Okay. Sorry, Iced Tang. Now I kind of got it now, but not really.
You haven't taken your Xbox 360 gamer tag translation course where you learn how to pronounce all these creatively spelled gamer tags. You got to go there, Spencer. It's great. It's like a 3-day course.
Oh, I've got my gamer tag. I'll tell you what mine is in just a minute. But I've run across a bunch of these, and I've run across a bunch of these. Hell, welcome to West Texas. No, and some of them are super original. For example, my daughter's, actually my wife came up with, her name is Meredith. So we thought, hey, your gamer tag will be Murdereth. And nobody had that gamer tag. So now Murdereth is a little original gamer tag. And you know it's original if it doesn't have any numbers after it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. You are the first, you are the creator of that name, so to speak.
Now, do you have an Xbox 360 gamer tag, Doc?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? When I first got one and I got on the Xbox Live, I just, you know, I must not have been in a very creative mood or whatever. So I just kind of used my initials, and apparently those were creative enough. So I have a really, you know, short gamer tag, and people are constantly like, I don't understand. What does that mean? What does that say? And I'm like, dude, it's so my initials, and it's so lame, and I don't even want to talk about it as I'm getting my butt whooped by a bunch of 11-year-olds.
Yeah, which is the other reason I don't know if I want to share my gamer tag. For the main reason is that I do get my butt kicked so many times by, you know, 8 or 10. And some of these kids, I'm just going, you can't even speak English and you can kick my butt in Call of Duty 4. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What kind of world are we creating here?
Well, yeah, and you know the thing that surprises me about that, you know, you're playing online, you're talking to all these different people, and the mouths on those little kids, man, holy cow. I can't imagine that their mothers are hearing them play this game, because if they were, you would just hear a bunch of slaps, them getting slapped the crap out of. Because, man, I'll tell you, if I ever walk in and my, you know, 7-year-old son's playing video games and talking like that, oh, forget it. Out the window he goes. Forget it.
Oh, and that's going to lead into our next thread. But before we get there, I did want to point out that Tone23 has one of the coolest neat little tags, icons, you might say, on his post. And it's got the guys from Spaceballs looking at the logo back and forth, back and forth. I love the avatar for Tone23. It says, I recently changed my gamer tag to MDR Tone23. All right. Well, I just want to give you two thumbs up on the avatar, because that's creative and I haven't seen one like that. I love it. Two thumbs up for me on that one.
Yeah, and again, guys, you know, if you're in the into the Xbox Live, you want to come on here, maybe find some friends, and maybe we start a team, like a Halo team or something. That'd be a lot of fun. Go out and kick some butt, hopefully beat up on those 11-year-olds.
No. I have enough 11-year-olds kicking my butt, Doc. No. It's embarrassing. I mean, if I gave you, and so my gameplay does not fit my gamer tag. You know why? Because my gamer tag is like Dispenser of Pain, which is kind of, it's an original thing.
Yeah, that's nice. That works, yeah.
But I get my butt kicked so bad, it's not even funny.
Well, maybe it's pain coming from the other direction.
There you go.
You can always play it off like that.
Maybe I should be recipient of pain. Yeah, I don't know. Which kind of leads me into a thread that I wanted to post because you kind of touched on this a second ago, and that was the fact that some of these people online have the worst mouths on the planet. And I posted this, and it's best come back to a loudmouth online. And I actually heard this. I swear this is a true story. I'm playing Xbox Live Call of Duty 4, and this teenager, I guess, or whatever guy, obviously supposed to be an adult, keeps telling this kid to shut the up and not using, I'm not using their creative language when I say this. So he's like, shut up, you stupid kid. What are you, 4 years old? So the kid responds, you shut up. What are you, like 40 years old and you're still playing Xbox Live? Get a life. And then silence for just a second. And then everybody in that form just laughing. It's like, burn. Now, that was good. And I wish I'd sometimes I'd just love to record some of these because the people online, some of them are just thuggy.
It's so bizarre because you'll get such different characters when you're playing. That's kind of why I like to play Xbox Live. The games are a lot of fun, and you know they're a lot of fun to play, but just hearing some of the people on there, sometimes you just get a really kind of funny, unique crowd. But it's a good question. You know, what do you say to somebody who just keeps talking? Because these guys on there, you know, they just keep talking and talking and talking, just crying for attention. And it's like, you know, come on, guy. You know, just play the game, whatever. But sometimes it does get pretty funny. So what do you say to them? And there's some pretty good ideas on here. Axis Denies says, oh, burn, baby. Love it. My favorite comeback lately was my signature last week. Stick that in your juice box and suck it. And I kind of like that one. That's a pretty good one. And Axis Denied then goes further to say, Spencer, question. How old are you and still playing Xbox?
And as I wrote in the thread, it's strictly therapeutic. It's supposed to, it's like Sudoku. Yeah, like Sudoku. It keeps your brain sharp as you get older. Anyway, I didn't have any online butt dart games going on at that point. Yeah, so that was it. Yeah.
Foofstar has some pretty good advice. He says, in PC gaming, they're usually called E-thugs, which I think is a good nickname for him. Best way to think of it is to feel sorry for them. They obviously have issues if they get off by abusing people in a computer game, which is a really good point. If anyone is go at me in a game, usually I say something like, wow, you're so cool. You type abuse at people. Please, when I grow up, I just want to be just like you. Oh, wait, I have grown up. Guess it's your turn. Usually shuts them up or makes them start your mama jokes, at which point the server turns them off anyways for being so pathetic. You know, man, I remember, I don't know if you've ever come across a Spencer while playing Call of Duty. There's a thing you can go up and teabag someone after you've killed them. I don't know if this has ever happened to you.
Oh, yeah. And it's usually an 8-year-old doing it to me.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious to watch because what you'll be doing, you know, in one of these games, you know, you're running around shooting each other and say you get shot and you fall down and you die. There's usually like a 10-second period where you have to sit there and kind of just watch your body lie there for a little while until you regenerate or reboot or whatever it is you do. And every now and again, guy will come up to you and kind of squat over you repeatedly. And that usually gives me a real good laugh. And I don't even mind when it happens to me because I just think it's so funny.
I usually need, you know, something, some antidepressants or something to keep me going when playing these games so I don't loudmouth off. Because usually it's more I critique my own play, which is, oh, I'm playing like, you know, or whatever. Xerox88 wrote, I can't remember where I saw or heard this, but some lad was playing Xbox Live when his mom barges into the room and starts telling him to get off the Xbox and clean his room. The kid starts swearing at his mom, telling her to get out of his room. She leaves, but keeps shouting at her son, so the kid replies, go downstairs and bake me a cake, and then calls her a bitch. I burst out laughing when he said that, although he needs a beating for being so disrespectful. I agree. But some of the conversation, just funny.
That kid sounds like Eric Cartman.
You don't respect my authority.
Respect my authority. The Big O writes, I just say, suck it, Trebek. And those who know laugh, those who don't feel dumb. So true. And, of course, I think the Big O is referring to when Will Ferrell plays Alex Trebek on Saturday Night Live, and what's his face who does all the impressions is playing Sean Connery. Suck it, Trebek, which is always a lot of fun. Well, that takes us to our first break,
and we're going to have a special guest. Don't forget, Doc.
Oh yeah, of course. We're going to have a very special guest, and tell him who it is, Spencer. It's very exciting.
It's a mystery guest. Yeah, I will tell you this: he is on the Sci-Fi Network on a hit show. And he's a super nice guy. And we'll tell you more coming up next on the BTS Mix Show.
Super sweet. Can't wait.
This is Agent X. You may know me as the secret informant for Dave and Johnny's ATS Mix Show. What a lot of you may not know is that I chose their show because AboveTopSecret.com is the only website out there that covers all the subjects that I love, whether it's a conspiracy about 9/11 or the secret United Nations meetings with extraterrestrials. I know I'm going to get the need-to-know updated information that I crave. I'd tell you more, but then I'd have to kill you. X out.
There are people out there who have power. Can change history.
And welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And Spencer, lately, man, I've been dancing in my pants. You want to know why?
Wow. That's creepy, Doc. Dancing. No, you're happy. Oh, okay.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, okay. Not that kind of dancing in my pants. Get your mind out of the gutter. No, man, I'm going to Las Vegas. Where are you going?
I'm going to Vegas. I know where you're at.
Vegas, baby. Oh, yeah. And we've got the contest up, and we've got some great replies coming in. And I'm really excited about this. I can't wait to see. You know, there's some really good stuff coming in, and it's going to be hard to go through it all. But I think we're going to get some really great winners, and I think we're going to have a great time out there.
We really are. Now, if you haven't heard about this, just wait. Where have you been? It's posted. Yeah, right? It's posted everywhere. If you want contest details, there's a specific thread about this. But let's run down some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about. Okay, Doc and I are going to be going to Las Vegas. We want to take two members with us. Those members will get airfare. They'll get hotel accommodations. They'll get $100 in gambling comp, two tickets to a Las Vegas show. And, of course, the most fun thing, obviously, besides Vegas, is being on the BTS Mix Show with Spencer and Doc. Now, this is going to happen at the end of July, but we'll be drawing for, drawing for a winner. We'll be selecting a winner from the best ideas of how to promote the BTS Mix Show coming up. Now, that'll be probably around the 4th of July weekend. We'll contact you and announce the winner on that particular show. So it's going to be great. Now, here's the deal. If you want to go to Vegas with us, enter the contest. You'll get airfare. Now, here's the other deal. If you want to just go to Vegas, but you can't be there at the same time, here's the deal that the Las Vegas Vacation Authority has set up. They've got a number, toll-free number you can call. You can set this up on your own, okay? This is not a jicky deal. The Las Vegas Vacation Authority, licensed and bonded folks, that their sole purpose in life is to promote Las Vegas. And they did this with us, super neat folks. And the number's posted on the website. You can get the same deal, minus sans the airfare, okay? You get the hotel accommodations, the gambling comp, tickets to the show, if you call the number. Now, if you're going, what number? Okay, 866-962-4412. That number again, 866-962-4412. And you get the same 3 days, two nights, $100 gambling comp and everything that goes with the regular trip. The only difference is you'll win the airfare if you win the contest, and you'll get to be on the show with Doc and I, which is really cool.
And I know that there's been, you know, some people posting in, and, you know, unfortunately, in order to win the airfare, you have to be in the United States. And hey, look, guys, you know, if we could bring everybody on ATS and BTS with us, you know, we so would. And we love everyone who listens, and we got nothing but respect and nothing but love for you. You know, unfortunately, this is the way it has to be, and these are the rules. But, you know, we're really looking forward to this. And, you know, like I think Spencer said this somewhere in the competition, you know, just come on out to Vegas, you know, call these folks, get the free hotel, get the $100 in gambling comps, and get a free some free tickets to a Vegas show all for free. And all you've got to do is just get your butt out to Vegas. And that's not that hard to do all the time. So, you know, come on out, join us. We'll have some drinks. We'll have a good time. We're going to do the show, you know, either in the Hard Rock or where else are we doing this, Spencer?
Oh, well, actually, the Jockey Club, we may be in the Stratosphere. We're trying to nail down the location right now, so there's some really cool locations. We're trying to figure out how many people are going to join us and everything, so we're trying to line all that up. But like I said, if you can come out, You live close or you live far, or if you know you want to spend $100 on airfare or whatever and fly out on Southwest, that's fine, or $200, and get a free hotel, get free gambling comp. I mean, the trip basically pays for itself if you can get out there. Or if you win it, you know, with the great ideas of promotional ideas that you give us, hey, then we'll fly you out. Okay? So, like I said, it's going to be a great trip. Doc and I are pumped about being a part of this, and we want to thank the folks at the Las Vegas Vacation Authority. Again, links on the website, phone numbers on the website. Check it out and get signed up today, because we'd love to be in Vegas with you.
Yeah, and, you know, Dave Rabbit was good enough to put a huge Vegas banner up there, you know, win a free trip with the BTS mix. So all you have to do is go to abovetopsecret.com or belowtopsecret.com, go right up to the top of the page, a huge, beautiful, multicolored banner with pictures of Vegas all over it. And just click on that, you'll get all the information, and it'll be wonderful.
Yes, and I know that Vegas has pirates, Doc. I'm not sure if they have ninjas, but I've never seen them because they're ninjas.
You know, anything's possible in Vegas. I would wager that there would be pirates and ninjas in Vegas.
Very possible. I've actually been to a Treasure Island, so I know that there are pirates. There's certain and there's pirates in other places, but we won't talk about that. But I haven't.
You know, that's the tricky thing about ninjas. You know, you never see them. That's the problem. You know, there was a post a while back, and it was the 24th annual ninja parade, and the streets are empty. You know, it's just people watching an empty street because you don't know where the ninjas are. That's how crafted
they didn't look up. They're in the sky. Yeah. That's
the
where
houses.
They were.
There they are.
And in the general chit chat forum, we just have to be talking about ninjas versus pirates. And I'm saying this is Seal Crest. That's the way I'm going to pronounce it, the five being the S. If I've got this wrong, I'm sorry. So he posts ninjas versus pirates. So in chat, we were debating about who's better, ninjas or pirates. Well, let's see what you think. I think you can tell by my avatar which one I think is better. Okay, he's got a ninja slinging all kinds of hooks and blades. So I'm guessing he thinks ninjas are better.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put my money that Seal Crest does think that ninjas are the best. Yeah, that's pretty clear. And he's got some reasons. You know, the guy's got an argument. He says, first off, ninjas can use any weapons. Can pirate do this? No, they're stuck to rapiers and old pistols and bootlegging DVDs. Secondly, ninjas are acrobats and can do almost anything. Can pirates do this? I think not. Third of all, whoever said that ninjas can't party are wrong. Just because there isn't documented in the stereotype doesn't mean that you can't party. Clearly, if you're a ninja, you can drink as much as you want to. Well, these are just some of the reasons why ninjas are better than pirates, but I'm sure if I listed them all, it would take up to like 10 pages, so I'll leave them to you. You know, and Spencer, I got to tell you, this topic really hits kind of close to home for me. I'm a big fan of both ninjas and pirates. You know, I consider myself kind of within the family of both of them. And, you know, this really kind of racked my brain. I really had to think about this for a little while, you know, really kind of sort my feelings out over this. And in the end, man, I got to give it to pirates. I really got to give it to pirates. And you know, because the question is, who's better? Not, you know, who could whoop who in a fight or, you know, anything really specific. It's like, who's better? Who's got the better life? Well, to me, riding around on a boat, drinking rum, occasionally getting into some adventures, treasure, damsels on the island, you know, all those sorts of things. That sounds like a lot of fun. A ninja, you know, while, super smooth, stealthy, you know, totally awesome, you know, kind of seems like a lonely life. It kind of seems, you know, that you're out of society and have to live kind of on the solo. And that just doesn't, you know, really appeal to me. So I'm going to have to go with definitively pirates. What do you think?
I think that scurvy sounds like no fun whatsoever.
Just bring some orange juice with you. You know, you're a pirate. You know, just
orange flavored rum, maybe. Yeah. Or make just make screwdrivers. Yeah. We'll sail over to the Black Sea in Russia and get some vodka. And then we'll sail down to the Caribbean and get some oranges. And no, you know, if there were more women on the high seas, that would be great instead of just the ports of call. As a ninja, you can go anywhere. And I like what one of the members posted, Shimon, posted out, hell, I can't disagree with the op. Although pirates have ships, who has the ability to run across water and wipe out a pirate ship before they can say, shiv, you know, I guess shiver me timbers was the rest of that sentence. But they didn't get that far because the ninja cut their throat.
Yeah, well, you know, again, that's getting pretty specific, and that's getting, you know, I believe full-heartedly that if a group of ninjas, say 12 ninjas, went against 12 pirates in hand-to-hand combat, certainly the ninjas would win. I mean, you know, pirates are pretty good fighters, but if you don't see them coming, there's nothing you can really do.
Well, yeah, and then there's the romance of being a pirate, too, because, I mean, how many pirates can you name? How many ninjas can you name? Other than the guy that's on the web, the Ask a Ninja guy, I really don't know any.
Yeah, and ninjas, it's debatable whether he's even a real ninja, you know, or just maybe, say, a spokesperson for the Ninja League, if you will, to keep their secrecy. And I have no idea where I'm going with that one. Anyways.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, you know,
it had me going. You're good.
And the debate kind of became here: who's sexier now? You know, ninjas or pirates? And you know, that is debatable. I mean, there's a lot of anime ninjas that are drawn on here, but I don't, you know, remember hearing in any history, you know, about any hot ninjas. You know, that kind of seems like a more modern invention than anything. And not to say that pirates were the epitome of sexy. But I think I got to hand it to the pirates again on that. You know, pirates rule the day. Arg, they rule the day.
All right, we'll leave that thread for you to post on and tell us what you think. Ninjas versus pirates. All right, let's jump over to the next thread, Doc. It's in the rant, the official BTS mini rant thread, and it's posted by Ashley D. And it says this: this thread is here for all of us to vent our mini frustrations for those times when we want to release some stress but don't feel as if our rants merit their own thread. As easily irritated as I am, please bear with me if I respond to this every day for as long as my membership lasts on ATS. I don't blog, so this is my only outlet. Please feel free to entertain yourselves along with me. Mini rant starts. Why does my household of all males, with the obvious exception of myself, feel the need to trash every room in the house right after I clean it? I told my husband I don't follow him around with a water hose and a bag of Miracle-Gro when he mows the lawn, so quit trashing my things I clean, you blah, blah, blah slobs.
Yeah, you know, I think this is an awesome idea for a post, and it kind of consolidates, because sometimes, you know, you go in the rant section every now and again, it's certainly legitimate, but you're wondering, you know, maybe it doesn't deserve its own thread. This is perfect. You know, you just want to come on and complain about something, bitch about something, great. You know, that's the whole purpose of this thread, and make sure you get on here and give a star and a flag to good old Ashley D, because this is a really great topic.
And there's quite a few people who posted, by the way. Let's see, Mr. Mysticism posted mini rant. When you're in a public restroom and it's locked, you're sitting on the pot and the doorknob frantically jingles, then the door wiggles back and forth. When I check the door, I turn the handle. If it doesn't turn, then it's locked, hence someone is inside. Why don't most people wiggle the handle on the door like they're trying to break in? Are they so slow and stupid that it takes them this long to realize that there might be somebody in the bathroom? Now, that leads me to, I'm going to chase this rabbit, per se. George Carlin passed away yesterday at the time of the recording of the show, and I got to say, what a comic genius that guy was. I mean, in a social commentary, did we need him now or when? I mean, no other time in American history besides maybe the 70s did we need George Carlin as much as we do right now. Why do they keep public bathrooms locked?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Oh, no.
Because they're afraid people might clean them. So, George Carlin, we miss you, buddy.
Oh, man. Talk about the voice of reason, you know, just a big old bag of truth and told it as it was and you know, never took any crap. And he'll definitely be missed, no doubt about it.
All right. So, I'm going to rant. I'm mad because George Carlin died. That's my mini rant.
That's the mini rant for today.
Yeah.
And, going back to Mr. Mysticism's post, isn't that truth? You know, you're sitting there and, sure enough, door's locked and jingle, jingle, jingle. And that's why, you know, going back to our topic earlier about just stupid people in general, just not knowing any better. I think that's why, you know, you go into a Starbucks or you go into like the newer restrooms and they have the occupied signs that go on there, because people just need to know either way. They can't, you know, just lightly touch that handle, figure out if somebody's locked in there. Oh, no. Got to jingle, jingle, jingle it, you know, jingle, jingle, jingle it. Until, you know, you figure out, okay, oh, I guess it must be locked, can't it, you know, so, you know.
Here's my other pet peeve that kind of goes along with that, though, Doc. I mean, how many times have you sat in a stall, ladies or men, and you hear this, hello, I can meet you, and this whole conversation, one-sided conversation, unless they've got the volume up really loud. This one-sided conversation is going on in the stall next to you. You don't want to hear this while you're trying to do a certain bodily function. Of course, then you're afraid to make any noise because the guy might
get a little concerned. Yeah,
he's like, that in itself lends itself to something that would be kind of cool. Somebody answers their phone in the bathroom and they're talking in the stall next to you, try to make as much bodily function noise as possible. For example.
Oh, yeah, and I was just going to say, if you can't do that, just start banging on the stall next to him. Try and scare the hell out of him. I mean, that's just rude and kind of nasty when you really think about it.
Yeah. So here you go. So the guy, hello, hello, and all of a sudden, you can go, oh, golly! Did you hear that splash? And then, I mean, you can imagine the phone conversation. It's going to be deathly quiet in there for just a second.
Yeah, or start talking to various objects, you know, in the room with you, if you catch my drift. You know, like, how did coming out there, little guy? How'd that go for you? You know, and really start grossing the guy out. That could be pretty funny as well.
There you go. All right, so let's jump over to the next one. If you have a mini rant, by the way, go ahead and go there. It is in the rant forum. Look under the official BTS mini rant thread.
And moving into the relationships forum, there is a great little thread in here that I read today. It says, you're alone because you don't love yourself. And this is probably one of the most cliche and taboo and overused phrases in the entire human race. However, it's so true. And this is from Bachelor, ironically. When it comes to those seeking love, I think the most overused and generic phrase that everyone seems to delight in throwing out there is, you have to love yourself first before anyone else can love you. What exactly does that mean? I've heard it for years. I've heard it so much that I'm teetering on the edge of being surely convinced that there is some kind of microchip implanted in 99% of society's brains that makes them repeat that insufferable phrase indefinitely. Of course, it's said in various ways, and not always as I've quoted word for word, but you know what I mean, surely. Honestly, I would like to understand the strange and bizarre concept of needing to love yourself first before anyone else will love you. Who can help me make some sense of it? It has never made any sense to me, and I feel that as I'm going to be 80 years old someday and still be wondering what in the hell everyone was talking about when they just said things like that. You must love yourself first. Oh, well, it's no wonder you're alone in life, because you don't love yourself yet. And what you need to love yourself first before you could ever be happy with anyone. What? I don't get it. And very close second in the all-time most generic phrases are that too overused. When you stop looking for it, it'll happen. And I say, what? So The Bachelor, aptly named, is trying to figure out what exactly this phrase means and why it's either applying or not applying to himself.
I'm going to refer to Mr. Mysticism's comment because I thought it was classic. He says, I love myself all the time. You know what I'm saying. Yes, we do.
And we'll make sure to follow his rules not to knock on the door after 9 p.m. But going back to this side of this, this is just one of those things. I think what it comes down to is confidence. And when you're making a first impression on someone, or when you are trying to attract a significant other, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be, you know, it all comes down to confidence. And you have to have that confidence. People have to see in you that inner strength that is ultimately sexy. It's the same reason why I think there's the old adage of the guy, you know, the rebel guy, the guy with the leather jacket with the switchblade and the cigarettes and, you know, whatever, is constantly getting women because I think he's dangerous, but that's usually danger masked in confidence. So again, you know, you have to be comfortable with yourself. You have to be comfortable in your own skin. And in order to do that, you have to love yourself. You have to love what you're about. You have to, you know, be confident in what you're doing. And to the second phrase, when you stop looking for it, it'll happen. That, to me, I mean, in my personal experience, that's always been the case. It's the second you stop wanting it that it will actually come. And that's not true with relationships in general. That's true on a general scale everywhere. You know, if you get to that point where you truly let it go and you truly release your want or desire for you, you'll be surprised that it just kind of falls and hits you in the head. Hopefully not, you know, metaphorically speaking.
Or you could just be a loser and then just give up and shoot yourself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. You know, I think everybody gets to that point where they go, I'm just not love. You know, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Most of relationships and finding that right someone is attitude. It's having the right attitude. Now, I'll show you an example. Okay, a great example of this, even though it kind of freaks me out. Have you seen the Planters Nuts commercial where the girl kind of rubs, she's got the unibrow going on, she's a little pudgy thing, just probably tried to make this girl the ugliest girl on the planet, but guys are falling all over themselves. And I don't think necessarily it's the nuts, but she has this attitude. She has this winning attitude of, yes, I'm hot, and guys think me hot, even though I'm pulling the panties out of my crack as I walk down the street. I'm hot. And that's, I mean, attitude is 99% of everything. Yeah, you can love yourself. I look at myself and I go, eh. What's not to love?
Yeah.
That's a joke, you know, but feel good about yourself, but not in a narcissistic way. But realize you got your faults. Other people aren't perfect, and somebody else is going to realize they have their faults, and you just kind of live with what you can put up with each other. And in the long run, that's pretty much how relationships turn out. But don't sweat the, well, when am I going to find? Yes, it will happen. And you'll be surprised who falls in your lap, and all of a sudden, hey, there's this neat little person here. But a lot of it is confidence. It's your attitude, and it's kind of like the law of sowing and reaping. You sow some good feelings, you sow some positive attitude and some love. Guess what? You get back.
Yeah, it's all about the karma, baby. Throw some karma out; it'll come back around like a boomerang.
Yeah, I haven't had much luck with boomerangs, but yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah. You could lose some fingers, but it'll come back.
Well, moving right along to a slightly lighter thread, if you want to call it that. And this is a thread that, for whatever reason, we just really haven't delved into. And the title certainly grabbed my attention, so I thought I'd peep in and take a look. And this is in the Dreams and Personal Predictions thread. And I think we visited this the very beginning when we started the BTS Mix. And, you know, for whatever reason, we just haven't come back. But I thought this was an interesting post. And Downtown436 writes in and he says, here is my prediction. And I don't have a telepathic vision. I don't have any kind of insider tell me what this is. I predict by the end of the year 2009, 500 million people will have died of starvation. The floods and droughts we're experiencing, the cost of a bushel of corn, and bizarre other weather patterns. Let me try that again. The floods and droughts we're experiencing, the cost of a bushel of corn, and bizarre other weather patterns are some of the reasons I feel this way. When you see oil and potash go up in price, you see food go up. It's dire, I know, but there it is, a prediction. I have nothing to back this up. And, you know, there's a lot of people who write, you know, kind of random threads here on BTS and ATS. And some of them, you know, you kind of take them with a grain of salt. But there is certainly something to this. I don't know that I would take it to 500 million people. But, you know, with all the floods, with the price of food, with the way things are going, it's going to put a lot of pressure on a lot of people who can't afford food, who don't have, you know, immediate access to food, the homeless who can't necessarily get into a shelter or a soup kitchen, or if there's even the resources or materials. Our food storage system, the U.S.'s food storage system, is currently empty or nearly empty. Could only sustain us for a couple of days at this point, and that's kind of dangerous. And, if things continue to get, you know, bad in the Midwest, the Mississippi River is overflowing. There's tons of flooding. This is happening in Europe. There's drought in Africa. And all of these places, you know, that provide the world with food are suddenly running out and things are getting a lot more difficult. So, you know, I think a lot of people will be hard-pressed to keep food, you know, in their stomachs and stay, you know, with some level of nutrition.
The breadbasket of America is where a lot of the food comes from. Now, look what happened, all right? We're using a lot of our grains for ethanol to kind of supplement our energy use and our oil use, gasoline use. It's added to gasoline. And now you're looking, we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years, the decline of the bees, which pollinate to allow these things to grow. And then we're looking at the crop shortage there. We're looking at genetically modified foods, and I won't say the company's name, though we know you, who you are, and we think you're evil for creating seeds that only grow one season and then won't germinate and just die, which means that third world countries can't keep their own seed and regrow it. They have to keep buying seed from your mega company. So yeah, I can see how this could happen. I mean, you control the world's population through food distribution, and you have this new world order agenda of cutting the population. And this is already stated by a bunch of scientists. This is nothing new. I mean, some even academics say, oh yeah, well, if we could cut the world's population down to about, oh, let's say 500 million, that would be a sustainable population. Right now, as it is with 6 billion people, there's just too many people on the planet, so we need to thin them down. We need to get rid of them. Well,
I got a question. Who made you God, first of all? Second of all, hey, I'm looking around. I got plenty of room out in West Texas. Mm-hmm. And third, it's just it's like this big, and then, you know, this could jump over to ATS immediately, and you'll read plenty of threads over there. But yeah, I can see how this would happen with crop manipulations, with natural disasters, with the bees going away, and then trying to use our food supplies to supplement our fuel. Yeah, I could see where they kind of get this idea, and it's possible it could happen. So 500 million people by when it was supposed to, June 9th of 2009, it could happen.
Well, I mean, look at the number from the cyclone in Myanmar. I mean, that was unbelievable. Over 100,000 people died. The earthquakes in China. Again, those are natural disasters, but, you know, starvation is a kind of a natural disaster as well. It's the inability to not get food once you have had food and the ability to get food. So, you know, this will certainly be something to follow. And, you know, I really enjoyed the post from Long Lance. It says, might just happen and a lack of awareness is the problem. Oil and food bubble are loosely connected via biofuels, and already it's pretty obvious that will happen once petroleum starts to drop uncontrollably, maybe late 08 or 09. Fit your timeline well. Food will be the next big bubble because most types of alternative energy will be considered a failed experiment for the most part, just as planned. And, you know, Spencer, you hit it right on the button, man. It's the, you know, the food supply is so tightly regulated and you know, kept under the thumb due to profiteering. You know, people are trying to make the money, and so you have to keep demand at a certain level, obviously, to keep supply at a certain level, and you know, get the price, get the money. And, you know, these ethics have to stop if we're going to, you know, sustain a population of, what, 6.5 billion now. And that's, you know, that's a lot of people. So
the whole thing is, why wouldn't you have create a seed that would be fantastic, that would just, you know, multiply billions of times, and then, you know, the food shortage is over. Instead, we make a seed, well, not we, but the company makes a seed that dies after a year. So you have to keep buying their seed, and they patent the genome. It's like, okay, second of all, you're still not God, okay? You didn't make it. You just modified it. It's like if I took apart a TI calculator and I changed a couple of things, it's still made by the TI calculator people. It's just me tinkering with something and changing it, not necessarily for the better, and trying to profit off of that. All right, I'll get off my soapbox on that. But if you want to post, you want to read more about this, you can do it in the Dreams and Personal Predictions Forum. Global famine kills 500 million in 2009. On a happier note, though, speaking of technology and wacky technology, we're going to have a special guest coming up in just a minute. Colin Ferguson from the sci-fi show Eureka is going to be on the show next.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
Hey, and welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And joining us right now is a very special guest. And you might know him from the hit show Eureka on the Sci-Fi Channel. Colin Ferguson stars as Federal Marshal Jack Carter in this highly acclaimed hit. And critics are saying it's kind of a mix between Northern Exposure and Desperate Housewives. The show debuted as the highest-rated premiere in the channel's history. The New York Daily News raved about his performance. Ferguson's approach is fluid and funny enough to make it all work. He approaches the role as a cross between Bruce Willis and Clint Eastwood with a mixture of laconic energy that somehow fits the role perfectly. Ferguson enjoys working on the cable series because of the hybrid tone of the dark drama mixed with the quirky comic elements. Third season will premiere this July, and it's great to have Colin with us.
Well, Colin, how have things been going with you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, we're busy, actually. I'm doing, Eureka's doing 21 this year, so that's a huge order for us. Usually we do 13 over the summer.
Right, but I guess the writer's strike had something to do with that, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about the inner workings of the great beast that is, you know, the entertainment industry. But we're doing 8 to air over the summer, and then 13 to air over the winter. which is new for us. It's sort of a nice sort of gesture of faith on behalf of the network.
Well, you know, this Eureka had like the highest debut on the Sci-Fi Channel, though, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can do it, I think, but it's a lot of work, I got to tell you.
You're doing 16-hour days, right?
We're doing we actually just as of Friday, we'll have completed a 27-day run with only one day off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we had June 8th, Sunday, June 8th off.
And that's it?
You just start dreaming about the show. It's all you're doing. I'm looking forward to the weekend, let me tell you.
I bet you are. You going to go play some street hockey?
Actually, my girlfriend's coming to town.
Ah!
So, yeah, I'm going to take her to dinner. I'm going to try to be a good boyfriend.
Sweet. Yeah. Now, does she come up to British Columbia where you guys are shooting?
Yeah, she does.
Where do you usually live when you're not shooting or when you have a spare minute?
Well, apparently I own a house in Los Angeles, but I'm there about 6 weeks a year.
Cool. Hey, now, from where the season left off, let's talk about Eureka for just a little bit. From where the season left off, we can kind of see the artifact is sort of resolving itself, but not really. We see that the character played by Deborah Ferrantino, Beverly, disappears. Is she going to come back for the new season?
She's not back yet. I mean, they really felt like it was cool what they did. They brought in Frances Fisher,
right?
Who's called the Fixer, and she's sort of coming in because the town's just a mess. The town's clearly failing in its mission statement, and you sort of get wind that there is a manifesto or a mission statement, and she comes in to sort of set the town straight. So you don't see much of that the artifact of the Ferrantino or any of that. It sort of goes into let's just sort out the town, and then you find out that she has sort of a secret agenda in coming to town, and it's to make sure that how the town started continues.
Okay.
So it's all sort of cloak and dagger type stuff, and it's working out pretty good so far.
Well, I love the show, and everyone I've talked to just loves it. It started out as kind of a sleeper hit, but it was just, it's a great show. It's family-friendly. A lot of the things that you guys deal with on the show are just cutting-edge and just super neat. But let's talk about love interest here. Let's talk about, because your character, Sheriff Jack Carter, had sort of a love interest building at the end of last season.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and she hasn't been back this year, but I hear that they're in the works to bring in a love interest for me this year.
Ah, so
it's always a promise, though, right? You know, it's this carrot that gets dangled in front of me, and sort of never get a love interest.
Usually, you kind of get a girlfriend. Well, you know, you've got Sarah, which is your talking house.
It's something. You know, I'd prefer a dog, but I'll take a talking house.
So does it look like Sally Richardson's character Allison is going to be hooking up with Ed Quinn again, or is that...
Well, they actually get married. I mean, there's still sort of the tension, and is it the right thing to do, is it the wrong thing to do between Sally and I, but they actually get married, I think, in this episode, and then we actually lose a cast member next episode. Someone's dying.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Someone's leaving. Someone's gone, and truly gone, not like they're dying. Oh, they're back. No, we're losing someone.
Oh. Well, that's no fun. I wonder who it is.
It's fun.
Well, it's fun how you do it, but yeah. Because the
cast... I mean, as a cast, it's hard, too, because you're saying goodbye to someone who you've been working with for 3 years, and everyone's pretty dear.
Yeah. So how did you get hooked up with Eureka?
How did I get hooked up with Eureka? It was sort of a normal pilot season, and it was the show that... it was going out for stuff, and they said they were interested, but they didn't come back with an offer, and so I was auditioning for other stuff, and then... At the end of pilot season, they said, no, here's the offer. We want you to do it. And it just worked out. I'd love to say that, I chose it, that I sort of like, I leafed through 400 scripts and I chose this one, but I didn't. I mean, they chose me.
Well, I think they'd made a good choice, too, because I love your character. He's very honest. He's very forthright, almost to a fault. He's very down to earth.
Yeah, he is. I really like that about the character, and I fight hard to keep that in the script.
Now, you did some stand-up earlier in your career.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How did that work out?
For comedy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. It was mostly improv, though. It was mostly improvising in bars and sort of being, MC and whatnot. I did that for, I guess, 8 years.
Yeah. And then
And it's nice, it helps on the day because, although interestingly, this year they've sort of like, no, we know what the show is. We don't want you guys making up so much stuff on the day, which is hard for me, I got to say. Because, having done improv for so long, a lot of stuff only occurs to me when I'm in the middle of the scene,
mm-hmm.
which is not great timing for something to occur to you. But, you know, we throw it in where we can.
And you also recently starred in Because I Said So with Diane Keaton.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, and actually tonight I have I don't even know what today is.
The 19th. Yeah, Fear Itself.
I guess we have an episode of Fear Itself airing.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. That seems like you've got a lot of projects starting to bloom now. I guess Eureka's opened some doors. Tell us about the episode tonight on Fear Itself.
It's Fear Itself is an anthology series. It's sort of like Twilight Zone or Outer Limits or, you know, Tales of the Crypt, except it's really dark. And it's I was surprised that some of these scripts are going to be aired on television. Like, it's that dark. Some of them are that scary. And my episode is called Family Man, where I swap bodies with... I'm just a normal guy. And I swap bodies with a psychopathic killer somehow. Somehow this happens. And then he just starts living with my family and coming visiting me in prison and basically telling me all the stuff he's doing with my family. And it's disturbing.
That would be disturbing. But it happens to me all the time.
And the cool thing is there's a twist at the end. Like, if you're going to watch it all the way through, because there's a twist at the end when I was reading the script. Because, you know, at a certain point, you're like, okay, I sort of get where this is going. And you don't. So, it's a neat story.
So what's your favorite show that you like to watch? I mean, what's your little addiction that you DVR or whatever?
I don't think anyone will know it, but there's this show that aired in England called Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. And it's this spoof of a 1980s television show that's so funny to me. I've watched every episode, I don't know, 3 or 4 times.
Hmm.
It's literally, it's basically it's like a Stephen Cannell sort of guy, like some author who's had his own show. And so every episode starts with him, you know, reading from one of his books, you know, and says, you know, hello, traveler, welcome to the show. And it's so self-aware. It's fantastic.
Sweet. I love it. All right. So we're going to see you on Fear Itself tonight. And then premiering on July 29th, it's The Return of Eureka at 9, 8 Central on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Hey, what's your favorite show? What do you got on?
You know what? I got to say, the ones that I DVR, most of them are on Sci-Fi. I like Battlestar Galactica. I think it's very well written. Always watch Eureka. We're actually going to be doing our podcast from Las Vegas the night you premiere, but it will be DVR'd. I promise I will not miss your show.
Thanks.
Some of the more thoughtful stuff, and then occasionally Family Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you have your other side, too.
Yeah, that's it. Fun that's stuff.
Right. No, Galactica's amazing. And we shoot on the same lot as those guys, so we see them around a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah, we're all in the same lot here in Vancouver.
Oh, very nice. Well, see, I'm also working on an interview with Trisha and and some of the other folks. Yeah, yeah, she's ugly, isn't she?
Yeah, tough going through life like that, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah, you were the cutest cat lady I've ever met.
No, we did an episode, last episode, we needed help because we were over budget on the episode, and we borrowed one of Galactica's raptors.
Really?
Yeah, we use the raptor to shoot the inside of this like tunneler thing.
Oh, sweet!
Yeah, so it's really sort of funny. Like, it's a really nice in-house sort of feel.
Oh, cool! You know, there's little neat stories throughout the whole thing that I just can't wait for this next season to start. I mean, and seriously, I mean, I'm not just blowing smoke. I really love the show. I love your character, and I love the way they've really put the cast together. And you guys work so well together.
Yeah, it's a nice, nice little family. There isn't an ego in anyone, and we've been really lucky that way.
Well, you're a nice guy too.
Well, thanks.
And the invitation still stands for barbecue when you come to West Texas.
Done. I got to get to West Texas. I got to get home to L.A. first is what I got to do. Yeah, then I'll go to West Texas.
You need a day off is what you need. Bless your heart.
Yeah, yeah, I do actually.
Cool, Colin. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down and talk with us.
Oh, pleasure, pleasure.
You know, Colin is such a great guy, just down to earth, super nice guy. And Doc, we have a standing invitation. They said anytime we want to go up to Canada and watch them film during the series, that Colin will show us around and they'll let us on the set, at least until security shows up.
Oh, that sounds great, man. Yeah, yeah, security would be a problem, but it would be a lot of fun while it lasted. Absolutely. Beer's on me. And that conveniently takes us right on into the BTS Mix screen test.
Can't wait. You know, last week's Silent Shadows answer was just amazing. And I to tell the truth, I didn't even know what the answer was when we finished the show. I forgot to ask Doc, hey, what's the answer to the screen test? Because it was tough. And then I see that Silent Shadow posted Ed Norton, and I went, ah, well, there you go. That's great. So congratulations, Silent Shadow, 10,000 BTS points. So how many BTS points should we attach to this one?
Why don't we say 5,000 this time?
Okay, we're good with that.
All right. And this one I tried to go a little bit outside of the mainstream, not terribly outside of it. I didn't want to make it, you know, too difficult and too isolated. So here is this week's BTS Mix screen test question. This actress has made one smart move after another, from royalty to a tractor mogul. Devilishly good looking, this young starlet is sure to entertain for years to come. Who is this actress? And it could be worth 5,000 points if you guess the correct answer.
And thanks again to everyone who tuned in to the BTS Mix Show again this week. Don't forget to sign up for our Vegas trip. We want to take you to Vegas with us. And of course, a big thanks to Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi's Eureka, premiering this season July 29th on Sci-Fi. Check your local listings. It's great. I love this show.
Yeah, and a really terrific guy. And that just about does it for us this week. And everybody, have a good week to one and all.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.